10th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes, the second quarterback. Oh.
It is Patrick Mahomes, the second, not Deshaun Watson. That was the apple of the Reed Dorsey eye in Kansas City. That's the quarterback of the future that they're putting the eggs in the Mahomes basket.
Yes, sir.
In the heartland for the Chiefs.
We won Deshaun Watson. What are we doing? We traded up for Patrick Mahomes. He's a turnover machine. 6 years ago today, the Kansas City Chiefs became Super Bowl contenders, and we didn't even know it. 6 years ago today, the National Football League had its new face for the league, and we didn't even know it. 6 years ago today, the Kansas City Chiefs fleeced the entire National Football League, jumped ahead of New Orleans Saints, who were considering taking Patrick Mahomes to be Drew Brees' understudy. They traded with, remember the team they traded with? The Buffalo Bills to get Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen then was drafted the next year by the Bills. And the rest, as they say, is history. Five straight AFC title games once he became a starter after sitting his first year behind Alex Smith. Two Super Bowl championships, three Super Bowl appearances, two Super Bowl MVPs, two regular season MVPs. 6 years ago today, there weren't very many pundits out there saying the Chiefs made the right pick. And this is why the draft is an absolute crapshoot. This is why I don't spend a lot of time looking at everybody's mock drafts. This is why I don't spend a lot of time listening to Todd McShay or Mel Kiper or any other guy that thinks they have all the answers when it comes to the draft. Yes, they have more information than we do, obviously. But it's not like they're hitting 1,000. They're not even close to hitting 1,000. They'd be lucky if they're hitting 300, like a baseball player. Because back in 2017, nobody, and I mean nobody, saw the Chiefs trading up 17 slots to take a quarterback. And then, when they did move up, and I have to admit, I was included in this conversation, when I heard the Chiefs traded up, I thought, they're getting Deshaun Watson. And when they drafted Patrick Mahomes the second, there are a lot of people, like some Chiefs fans are really excited about moving up and getting a quarterback, but then they were disappointed it wasn't Deshaun Watson. And I remember we talked on this very show the day after the draft, or after the first round, and I know you were more skeptical about it, and rightfully so. I was more open-minded about it because I felt like if there's anybody that knows anything about quarterbacks, this is why I felt good about the Chiefs taking Patrick Mahomes over Deshaun Watson even on that very day, was that I thought Mahomes had more upside than Deshaun Watson. I thought Watson was a safer pick, and now we look at it, and Mahomes was way safer of a pick. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Chiefs were going to go Deshaun Watson. But the other reason I think, and I said it the day after the draft, the other reason why I was cool with the Chiefs getting Mahomes is Deshaun Watson had a torn ACL he had recovered from. Mahomes didn't have any severe injury like that. So that was another reason why I like Mahomes over Deshaun Watson. But the reason that I was very excited about it, even though it wasn't Deshaun Watson, was because I believe that Andy Reid knows something about quarterbacks. He only worked with, great ones all the time. Even in Green Bay, he worked with Brett Favre when he was an assistant. And I had seen already what he'd done with Alex Smith, a guy that, got jerked around in San Francisco, wasn't a great quarterback in San Francisco, decent. And all he did was turn him into a guy that won division title after division title the last few years and win 11 or 12 games. I mean, that's why I thought, hey, you know what? Who am I to criticize this pick? And the other reason why I liked it was it wasn't like they were hee-hawing around. They knew who they wanted. When you move up 17 picks, well, we just moved up 17 picks. Now we can pick one of the two guys. No, they knew exactly who they wanted all along. Brett Veach was interviewed by a TV station in Kansas City. I saw part of the interview. And Brett Veach was on Mahomes for 2 years prior to drafting him. And Brett Veach was not the GM at the time. It was John Dorsey. Brett Veach fell in love with Patrick Mahomes. He just saw how he prepared, how he went about his business. And he kept telling Andy Reid and everybody that would listen that this is the guy. Now, as he said, nobody dreamt he would be the face of the league. Nobody dreamt he'd be this successful in 5 years as a starter. I mean, 6 years ago today, the NFL changed, and we all didn't know it. 6 years ago today, the Chiefs drafted perhaps the greatest quarterback that will ever play the game. I said perhaps. And he's a Hall of Famer today if he decided to retire after just 5 years as a starter. That might be the greatest single trade in NFL history. When you think about it. 17 pick. You went up 17 slots to get a guy that's a turnover machine, which was wrong. People that said that was completely inaccurate. Go look up his stats. He was not a turnover machine. Did he take chances? Yes. And then the post-draft, or after he was picked, Mel Kiper Jr. and others, well, you know, he's a gunslinger, and he makes bad decisions, and the mechanics are not good at times, and he's not going to get away with that. He can't do those fancy passes in the NFL. Oh, contraire, mon frere. Left-handed pass, no-look pass. Someday he's going to do a behind-the-back pass. You just watch. It's going to happen. Yes, he can. And it's these old-school people. Well, you can't run the option in National Football League. You can. We've seen it. You can. Now, it can't be your offense all the time. It's not the triple option attack. Don't get me wrong. But I remember no teams would try option play with their quarterbacks because, one, they usually had the old standing in the pocket quarterbacks that weren't mobile. Well, you can't run that offense in National Football League. Lamar Jackson's going to suck. There's no way he can be good in National Football League. He's just a running quarterback. Michael Vick, he's a great story and all, but yeah, he doesn't have the accuracy to be a good quarterback in the National Football League. Mahomes is a gunslinger. He's going to be like Brett Favre. He's not even, it's insulting. I still, to this day, the next person, if I'm around them that says anything and putting Mahomes and Favre in the same conversation, I might get arrested for assault by slapping them in the face. It is a slap in the face to Patrick Mahomes to compare him to Brett Favre. Mahomes is way better the quarterback than Brett Favre. Brett Favre was a gunslinger that kept slinging it and kept making turnover after turnover and led the NFL in history in interceptions. Mahomes will not do that. Mahomes was not that type of guy at Texas Tech. Everybody thinks he was. Go look at the numbers. He was not a turnover machine. I think it was 83 touchdowns and 18 interceptions I looked, if I remember correctly, when we did the math one day. I mean, that's 4-1 touchdown interception ratio. In his first year in the league, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. What do you know? Right on what his college numbers were, 4-1 ratio. So a lot of people got it wrong. A lot of people were skeptical. A lot of people were fearful if they drafted the wrong quarterback. And then there were a lot of people that were excited, like me. Like, you know what? We finally got our guy. Let's see what happens. And then there were people saying, why are you drafting a quarterback? We have Alex Smith. It's like, dear God, stop it. Do you want to win a Super Bowl or not? Then, after Mahomes, the first year of Mahomes being the understudy to Alex Smith, well, we can't. Well, I don't think this is the right idea. I don't know about handing the keys to Mahomes because Alex Smith was the number one rated quarterback during the regular season. Couldn't score a point in the second half against Tennessee Titans in his final playoff appearance with the Chiefs. I have people that followed the Chiefs when Mahomes was a rookie, said that they still believe to this day if Mahomes would have played in that playoff game, if they would have benched Alex Smith and put Patrick Mahomes in the second half against the Titans, they truly believe the Chiefs would have won that game. He had only one NFL start prior to that. That was a Week 17 game against Denver with a whole bunch of backup wide receivers. He was throwing the guys like Albert Wilson. So people were wrong. Pundits were wrong. Experts were wrong. There were some people saying, well, if there's anybody that can tame Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid. I know you were skeptical of it because you were worried that Andy Reid would try to make Patrick Mahomes a game manager. And I agreed with you that was a concern. And there are times that he makes a bonehead play, yeah. But he makes way more plays than he doesn't make plays. And so Andy Reid has not made him a game manager, anything but. And I think that goes to the brilliance of Andy Reid, that, you know what, I adjust. He's a quarterback for many, many years working with all kinds of different quarterbacks. He worked with game-managing quarterbacks like Alex Smith and others. He worked with tremendous ability with Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick. And, of course, Brett Favre, was just he's the ultimate gunslinger, Brett Favre. And Andy Reid has just done wonderful jobs with whatever quarterbacks he has, even if it's Matt Moore off the street. And it was a match made in heaven. But the Chiefs had to make it happen. They had to move up 17 slots 6 years ago to get the guy that they were absolutely positive was the quarterback of the future. They knew they had to go get. Now, Alex Smith wasn't 38. They knew they had to get a quarterback that had the potential to take them to the promised land because they knew Alex Smith was not the answer long term. And give them a ton of credit. For the first time in, what was it, since 83 when they drafted Ty Blackledge, they had to wait 34 years for the Chiefs to finally draft a first-round quarterback, a franchise quarterback. And not only did they do it that day, but they moved up 17 picks. Fleeced the league, ironically traded with the Bills, who's one of their biggest competitors the last few years, trying to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. And it may be, it may end up being the greatest trade in NFL history. And I've always been a part of teams and my sports teams being on the wrong side of these type of moves. And it's just great to think back and go, wow, 6 years ago today, the Chiefs got their franchise quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's only 27. He already has two rings, two Lombardis he's brought to town. Imagine what he can still do. And it's just amazing. It's hard to believe it's been 6 years. It's been a heck of a ride. And if the ride ended today, it's been one hell of a ride. Of course, we're hoping it's going to be another 6-10 years that he plays in this league.
Well, absolutely. A lot of people don't have the chance to do what we do on this show and go back and kind of think about what we thought that night and actually, or they don't really want to, and they don't want to out themselves for right. saying some things that they said 6 years ago on this day compared to what they would say about Patrick Mahomes today. So there's a lot of people out there that I think we'll put that, oh, I always believed in Patrick Mahomes. I thought he was going to be the guy, and it's just not the case. And like what I was saying that night and that day after on this show was not different than what a lot of people were saying. And I think we get into a situation where a lot of people don't understand that, and they throw out that, well, I believed him the whole time. I didn't have any doubts about Patrick Mahomes being this quarterback. And I think everybody had that little sliver of, is this the right thing? Mm-hmm. You know, like, did we do the right thing by taking him over to Deshaun Watson? I mean, that's what we were going to compare him to from that day forward. Mm-hmm. What does Mahomes do compared to Watson? And we said it that next day.
We did.
What we're going to really be looking at what happens with Mahomes and Watson in this league.
Yep.
And, you know, it worked out. And the things that I was concerned about was more not that the people, which is 93 touchdowns and 29 interceptions in college at Texas Tech.
That's
what
3-1.
Yeah, it's so I was not concerned about that part of it. Like, I didn't think he was a turnover machine in college. What I was concerned about was conventional wisdom said the way he played in college was not going to work in the NFL, some of the throws he made.
Mm-hmm.
Like the highlight package that you're watching, right. Like K-State safeties were playing the wrong way,
right.
And he's getting easy touchdowns against him. And I'm like, NFL safeties aren't going to play like that. And some of the angles that he threw from, some of the ways he threw off of his back foot, those things, conventional wisdom said those things don't work in the NFL. You're going to have to fix your footwork. You're going to have to do this and do this. And to be honest, he's not really fixed his footwork a whole lot since coming into the NFL. I mean there's some
there's things
that they've tweaked, right?
Yeah, sure.
That he does that makes him better in the NFL, and that he's learned that he can do this, but maybe not that. But whatever conventional wisdom said was changed the first day he started for this team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one that always stands out to me is the play against the 49ers when he's curling one way and then comes back the other
way
and finds Chris Conley in the back of the end
zone.
That
play, when that happened, I was in a bar restaurant in Wichita. I was watching that. And when that play happened, like I said, I was more optimistic about the whole pick than a lot of people were. But when that play happened, I absolutely was completely sold.
Yeah, that's the exact moment, I think, for me, for you, a lot of Chiefs fans, where it was like,
he's
okay, this was the right thing to
he's
do.
He's the man.
Because nobody's doing that.
No.
That I've seen in the NFL.
No.
And, you know, that was that time where it was like that. So the concerns I had were of just kind of the way he was throwing the ball in college, not necessarily thinking he was a turnover machine in college, and then also the whole Andy Reid of it.
Yeah,
if he does these things and it doesn't work, and, and he can't get those through those tight windows like you would like him to, and, and throws two interceptions in a game, is Andy going to reel him in like he did Alex Smith? Like, is he going to be like, nah, we don't want you to make mistakes, so just look for this guy down here. Let's just keep moving the ball and see what we can do. And to Andy Reid's credit, he's not done that. And so that's the top of the list for me, is I think we've got to credit not only Mahomes for what he does, but also Reid for believing in him, that he's, even if he makes, you know, a boneheaded mistake, as Patrick Mahomes says in his press conferences, that he's just going to let him play.
Yeah, and Andy didn't force him into a box, like you're not forcing a square peg into a round hole. He adapts. The great coaches adapt. Yeah. The greatest coaches of all time in any sport know how to adapt to their personnel. There are a lot of really good, there are some really good coaches out there. They have a system, and they only can recruit or draft the right guys for their system. They will not change their way. It's got to be the right fit. In this situation, it's a marriage made in heaven, because, well, one, you've got Brett Veach was all about getting him, and of course Dorsey was the GM when they made the pick, and they were all on board. But then Veach becomes the general manager, you know, a year or two after that, and then, you know, Reid is on board. Everybody was on board, but Reid didn't force Mahomes to become Alex Smith or Donovan McNabb. And there are coaches that are like, well, you got to run my system, and you can't improvise, and hey, that's a bad move, and you ain't going to get away with that. And you hit the phrase you used, I thought, is really appropriate. Conventional wisdom, and I use in quotation air quotes here. Conventional wisdom. See, this is the problem we all get stuck in the world today. We sometimes get in tunnel vision. Well, you just can't do that in this league, or you just can't do that in that job, or you can't do that here. And it's like, you know what? It's okay for us to evolve as people. You know? It's okay to evolve. And the NFL has evolved into quarterbacks that can run and throw. Quarterbacks that don't have to stay in the pocket all the time. Quarterbacks can improvise. Quarterbacks that can, you know, say, do it, Kels, do it, Kels, do it, Kels, in a playoff game with 13 seconds remaining, improvising a play. And there are a lot of coaches that would be ticked off about it, even if it worked. Andy Reid's like, hey, you know, I trust these guys. They know what they're doing. Kelce and Mahomes have this great relationship. That doesn't happen everywhere in the league. And it's a big reason why the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions for the second time in 4 years. It's a huge reason why they have the face of the National Football League. And Brett Veach cannot get enough credit in my mind. He is way, way underappreciated for all the things he does and what he's done with it. Because I'll be honest with you, I was way more skeptical of Brett Veach becoming the general manager than Mahomes being the Chiefs quarterback.
Sure.
Because I was worried he was going to be Andy Reid lackey, because Brett Veach's first job was Andy Reid giving him a shot at Philly. So, I was worried that Brett Veach was going to be Andy Reid's yes man, and Andy Reid basically was the de facto general manager. And I remember we talked about it, like, you don't want your head coach to be the GM and the head coach. No, you don't want that. You want him to do what he's got to do and focus on it. Yeah, Andy Reid and all coaches usually are in on conversations about who we're going to draft, what kind of trades we're going to make, and so forth and so on. But I was worried about that. I was a big concern that I had. You know, Dorsey and Reid were good friends and so forth and so on, and then Dorsey left, and I thought, oh boy, the Chiefs, Dorsey and Reid butted heads a little bit, so now Veach is going to come in and he's going to be yes man. So there's where I was way wrong. Like, I was more right on the Mahomes thing than a lot of people were, because I had faith in Andy Reid to do what they had to do, but I was way off base with Brett Veach. And I'm telling you, I don't know why and how that guy hasn't won General Manager of the Year. He should have won it last year for what he did with this team. And I know he has Patrick Mahomes, and that's going to punish people. Andy Reid doesn't even get, he isn't even up for Coach of the Year, because, you know, it's like Bill Self. He ain't going to get the Big 12 Coach of the Year, even though he can get it every year. It's like LeBron could get MVP every year, but he's not going to get it. Jordan could have. The great coaches aren't going to get Coach of the Year every year, because that's boring. But Andy Reid should be up for Coach of the Year every year, or at least when they're doing well, which is pretty much every year. And Brett Veach should be one of the finalists for GM of the Year. And that move alone, forget what, you know, people are like, well, Brett Veach had an unbelievable draft last year. And he did. He had a great draft. Oh, well, you know, had that 1 year, he really flamed out. Brett Veach is the reason Patrick Mahomes is a Chief. I don't care what Brett Veach does the next 5 years. Well, yeah. I do care. But I'm like, dude, Brett Veach can strike out the next 2 years. I'm like, you know what? He gave me two Super Bowl rings because I didn't get actual rings, but please ship them to me. I'd be great. He is the reason, the main reason why the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. It's not John Dorsey. It's not even Andy Reid. It is Brett Veach. Brett Veach was on this thing well before other people were. And it's amazing how the Chiefs were able to fleece the league and trades up 17 spots to get the guy. So who's the next Patrick Mahomes? Don't know if there is another Patrick Mahomes. Who's going to be that team that's going to make a big jump in the draft tonight in the first round in Kansas City at Union Station? Who's going to be the next star player in the NFL? And it might not even be a first-round pick. It might be tomorrow in the second or third round. It might be a fourth-round pick. Travis Kelce was a third-round pick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
63rd pick taken 10 years ago. And there was lots of questions about Kelce. Like, well, what are you doing here? He got kicked off a team. I think he failed a drug test or something with pot or marijuana, which a lot of people do that now. And now the NFL is not even going to make that a suspendable offense or whatever. They're not going to test for that. And so he was injury prone, and so forth and so on. There's question about his attitude, and it's all worked out. So it is pretty amazing what the Chiefs were able to do 6 years ago today. And what there might be an NFL team that's going to change the direction of their franchise tonight with whoever they pick. And they may put themselves backwards 5 years by making a horrible pick tonight. We're going to talk NFL draft coming up in just a little bit. Local sports, we give it to Dusty. We have a new athlete of the week as well.
Yes, coming up today in the local sports world. It's kind of a little bit of a slower schedule today. Russell Invitational this morning at 11 o'clock, and Smith Center is competing from the area there. And then in Clay Center, Concordia will compete in golf. That's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Boy, relays are coming up tomorrow, by the way, and we'll have coverage of that, beginning with reports a little after 10 o'clock and every half hour after that. So be tuning in for that. We'll have a preview of that tomorrow on sports as well. Yeah, Beloit freshman Dakota Gray has been named the IntoCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. She's off to a stellar start in her high school career. She won 13 gold medals, 2 silvers, and 2 bronze medals in her first 5 events. Over the past week and a half, Gray has picked up 7 golds and a silver at the Belleville Lions Club meet hosted by Republic County April 18th. She took home 4 first-place medals, winning the 100-meter hurdles 16:38, the 300-meter hurdles a season best time of 48:28, high jump at 5:02, and a member of the 4x100-meter relay team in 51:70. On Friday, April 21st, this past Friday at Phillipsburg, she took home 3 golds and a silver, Gray winning the 100-meter hurdles with a time of 15:91 and tied her top high jump of the season at 5:02, won the 300 hurdles 48:70, and the 4x1 relay took second place there on Friday in Phillipsburg. Other gold medals this season, 300-meter hurdles and high jump at Smith Center. Also, the 100-meter hurdles at Concordia on April 6th, 100-meter hurdles, 300-meter hurdles, and 4x1 in the season opening Clay Center Invitational at Belleville. She brought home second place medal as a part of the 4x1 at Smith Center. Third place medals in the high jump at Concordia and Clay Center meets. Best time in the 100-meter hurdles was a 15:88 in the prelims at Smith Center. Dakota Gray off to, again, a great start here in her high school career as a freshman, and she's our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. You can read more at NCKSSports.com and check out the website as far as how to nominate an athlete, and we'll announce the winners each week. You can nominate an athlete from any school sport to be our athlete of the week at nckssports.com.
There's a few genes in that family,
yeah.
In particular mom. No
yeah.
offense to dad. Dad was a good athlete too, but mom was a pretty amazing athlete.
I think the hurdles are probably something that was passed down from Lindsay.
I heard that when Dakota was born, she hurdled.
Yeah.
Just like right out of the womb, boom, she jumped over some high bar or whatever it was. I don't know. Yeah. The genes are there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, mom's still in the record book at state track. So, yeah, that's definitely a good way to start.
No doubt. You could probably Google that. I know you can Google that. Put Lindsay Gray. We had a whole feature on her. She was in studio talking about her high school career and then her college career at Tennessee and Wichita State. And just, I mean, it was very interesting. Very interesting. And how successful she was, how hard she worked at it. And now her daughter is an outstanding track and field athlete as well, and still got a long way to go where she can win lots of medals. There's no doubt about it. So it is, pretty impressive stuff. So read about it. NCKSports.com. All right, so I'll just go ahead and get the Royals out of the way.
Cutters. There's a base hit for Emmanuel Rivera. Thomas scores, and it's 2-0 Diamondbacks.
All right, the Royals have played 25 games and been shut out 6 times. Yesterday, they're shut out 2-0. Through 6 innings, they had struck out 12 times out of 18 outs.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows that pet peeve of mine. Put the ball in play. Royals went 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position, had just 5 hits in the game. Former Royal Emmanuel Rivera scored a run and an RBI hit in the 5th. Ryan Yarbrough pitched good enough. He's 0-3 on the year, gave up 1 run, 4 hits, and 4 innings. Zach Gallen was fantastic for the D-backs. He's now thrown 28 straight scoreless innings, gave up 4 hits, struck out 12. in 6 1/3. Royals are 6-19, and things get even better. They go to first place Minnesota for a four-game set in the Twin Cities against the Twins. The Twins have a two-game lead. The Royals are 8 games behind, if you're wondering about that already. Game one this evening at 6:40. Zach Greinke on the hill, 0-3, ERA at 4.61 against Tyler Mahle of the Twins, who's 1-2 with an ERA at 3.32. The combined ERA of the four starters the Royals are going to face this week in Minnesota or this weekend, you know what the combined ERA of the four starters they're going to face? It's like barely over 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sonny Gray, who owns the Royals.
Yeah.
They're going to face him again.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think the Royals might have, they might end up being shut out 8 times in 27 games after 2 more. Not looking good. The Royals just do not hit with runners in scoring position. That's if they get runners in scoring position. So there's your look at the Royals. Going to move on. The NBA playoffs. So we'll get the NFL draft here in just a little bit. The NBA playoffs last night, the number one team in the East is done.
Over the top to Butler. Up and in! Jimmy Butler ties the game with a half second to go.
What a play call.
Milwaukee had a timeout and didn't use it. Vincent, in and out. Giannis has it.
Get it to Middleton.
2-point game. Butler steps in front. Middleton. Allen has it. Down the lane. He ran out of time. The Bucks don't get off the shot. Oh, and my. The Miami Heat become the 6th in NBA history to win as an 8th seed in the first round.
Amazing to me how a team could have the most wins in a conference all year long, have, I think, perhaps the best player in the NBA on their team, a couple of other all-stars with Middleton now healthy, Drew Holiday, and how the Bucks can last night not call a timeout after Jimmy Butler tied the game, which Butler got away with a push-off to get the layup, by the way. There's no doubt about that. But, hey, no calls. And Butler got away with it, tied the game. That's after Drew Holiday missed one of 2 free throws. He hits both. That makes the game different. Giannis missed 13 free throws last night, 10 out of 23 for him. He had 38 points and 20 rebounds. More on Giannis in a moment. But the Heat were down 16. They're down 16 to start the fourth quarter. And then they were down 12, I think, with 6 minutes to go in Milwaukee in a must-win game. And the Heat come back and win. No Tyler Hero, no Victor Oladipo, doesn't matter. Jimmy Butler, unbelievable again. 42 points, 8 rebounds. You heard the game-tying shot there with a couple seconds left. It was a lob from midcourt, and he caught it after pushing off and laid it in to tie the game. Bucks then could have advanced the ball and called a timeout. Instead, did not. And Mike Budenholzer, not very good at using timeouts. Apparently, he thinks he can carry him over into next year. I don't know. But Giannis had 38 points and 20 rebounds. He missed 13 free throws. After blowing a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 4 in Miami on Monday to fall into a 3-1 hole, the Bucks were up 16 last night to start the fourth quarter at home. How about this? The Bucks during the season were 51-3 when they were leading by double digits after the third quarter and just lost their last 2 games by blowing both of them. So after the game, there was this exchange between a reporter and Giannis. It's a regular reporter, a beat reporter, apparently, covers the Bucks, did last year. And I think this is really good stuff. I want you to listen to this very carefully, because I think we get caught up in, as fans, sports talk show hosts, whoever, whatever the case may be, we believe that players, entertainers, celebrities, people making tons of money, elected officials, we believe that they lose a sense of reality, right? There's no connection with reality. They have no idea what the real world is like. Well, I don't think there's any doubt that society and fans, ourselves, and sports talk show hosts like ourselves as well, we are not realistic in our expectations of what our teams and players should be doing. So there is a lack of a sense of reality, I think, from both sides. So let's listen to this exchange. I thought Giannis, you know, considering how frustrated he had to be after losing number one seed, you know, he missed a game or two because of a back injury. He missed 13 free throws last night. He had every reason in the world to snap at a reporter. And some people, I mean, he would have been vilified for it because that's what the media does. Mm-hmm. But he would have been understood by some to say, you know what? He'd have his supporters going, you know what? Come on, man. He's emotional. Season's over. Disappointing loss. Number one seed is bounced, which, by the way, the Heat became the latest member in the fraternity of 8 seeds to wipe out a top seed off the board, joining the 94 Supersonics. the 99 Knicks, the 2007 Warriors, and the 2012 Philadelphia 76ers. And by the way, that is wrong. The Nuggets beat the Supersonics. That was 8-1, so they got that one wrong. But not many 8 seeds have won a series. That was a best of 5, by the way, when the Nuggets and Supersonics. This is a best of 7, as the last few have been. But here's the exchange between the reporter and Giannis, and listen carefully.
The exact same question, but I'm curious for you. Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh, my God. Okay, because I'm not that up. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay, do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success. You know, and if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So, there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championship. The other 9 years was a failure. That's what you're telling me. No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful, some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sport's about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball. You know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one. Hopefully we can win another one.
Your thoughts?
There's a lot of truth in there for sure. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we use the term in the wrong way. If you kind of listen to that and kind of listen to what Giannis is saying about it, he makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially when he brings up the Jordan thing, right? Like,
right.
He did not win a championship 9 times. Did he fail 9 times? Like, is that a failure? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, they did what they could, and they did what was best that they could do at that point. And mm-hmm. and so I do think we probably overuse the term failure in sports.
Agreed.
But I think that's kind of a product of the way you go about starting a season too, right? Mm-hmm. Giannis says that even in there, right? Your goal is to win the championship or whatever, or get a promotion in your job, whatever he's talking about there. So I think when you set that bar so high, that it's easy to say, hey, that was a failure because we didn't get to that bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's just terms, maybe it's just the way you voice that and talk about it. But I would probably be a little aggravated if it was the same exact guy the next year that asked me if the season was a failure that asked me the year before.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably get a little old and annoying. And so I definitely understand where he's coming from on that. I think we do probably use that too much as kind of a crutch of if you didn't win the championship, you failed.
If the Heat would have lost this series, do you think Jimmy Butler gets asked the same question?
No, absolutely not.
But why not?
Because they're the 8 seed.
But isn't the goal before the season everybody win a championship?
Yeah.
See, that's where
it's the same type of deal, but it's, you know, you get a different look at it if you're not expected to do it.
There's the key word, expected.
Yeah.
Expectations. So when you're the 1 seed and you win the most games in the East, you're expected to not lose in the first round. You're expected to make it to the NBA Finals. And I think your players set this up too, though. Players, a lot of times, we've heard Kelce even say it, like, if we don't win the Super Bowl, it's a failure.
For sure.
It was a wasted season. So that does help the media go with that narrative mm-hmm. of a failure. But it goes back to what we talked about with all these players in the NBA with load management. Nowadays, it doesn't matter that you're MVP, per se. It doesn't matter that you had a great year and you're all NBA. It doesn't even matter you had a great year and won 73 games. The Warriors had the greatest regular season of all time in the NBA. And they were up 3-1 in the finals, and they lost 3 straight games, and one game, one of their key players got suspended. And people consider that a failure. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It was not a failure. They failed to win the title. The Boston Bruins are in the same boat right now. They're 65 wins, best most wins ever in NHL history. They had the best season in NHL history, most points. And if they don't win the title, people are going to say it's a failure. It happens to KU basketball all the time. How many times has KU been number one seed or the favorite to win the title of the tournament, and they get bounced, you know, before the Final Four, or get lost there at a stretch where they lost in the second round quite a bit? Is it a failure? Well, let's see. They won 35 games. They were 35-4 or whatever the record was. They won the Big 12. They won the Big 12 tournament. They were number one seed, and they lost to VCU in the Elite Eight. So they're a failure? Like, no, that was an unbelievable year.
Yeah.
So you're like, so does the season just not matter? Like, should we not even play it and just go ahead and have coaches polls or player polls or fan polls or media polls and just go ahead and seed everybody 1 through 32 and then just go ahead and advance to the playoffs and play it out? So everybody's at full power and rested and, you know? Because that's all we do is if you don't win at all, you're a failure. And expectations are a big part of it. Obviously, KU basketball has had to deal with that for many years. The Chiefs, of course, have those expectations now. The Bruins have it. The Warriors, of course, have it every year. The Yankees have those expectations. And the Bucks, of course, had high expectations. I had them winning it all. And they didn't. They're out in the first round. And the fact that they lost the first round adds to the fact of people asking, was it a failure or not? So the Bucks are out. I thought Giannis had some really interesting things there to say. The Heat will move on, face the Knicks in the second round. Knicks moved on over the Cavs. I thought that'd be a great series, and the Knicks just dominated the last three games. They won 106-95. They take the series 4-1. Grizzlies stay alive with a win over the Lakers, 116-99. Desmond Bane, 33 points, 10 rebounds. John Morant, 31 points, 10 rebounds. Lakers still up 3-2 in that best of seven, game six in L.A. The Warriors won a hard-fought 123-116 game last night over the Kings in Game 5 in Sacramento. They're up 3-2 in that series. Steph Curry had 31 points. Klay Thompson, 25 points, 5 threes. And Draymond Green had over 20 points for the first time since Christmas Day of 2019. 21 points. Draymond Green was really, really good last night. Tonight, the Celtics head to Atlanta up 3-2. And that game is in Atlanta against the Hawks. Tip-off at 7:30 tonight on TNT. There also was hockey. Pretty exciting stuff as the best team in ever in regular season history, NHL, was trying to finish off an 8 seed and couldn't get it done.
Marchand thought he would stay along the boards. Allmark turned it over. Bouncing puck! They score! Matthew Tkachuk wins it in overtime! A misplay by Boston!
Sean McDonough's good. I always like Sean McDonough's play-by-play, and he's really good at hockey. The Panthers win. They keep their season alive 4-3 in overtime with the Bruins. Bruins still up 3-2 in that best of seven. They go back to Florida, though. Boston could have closed out on home ice last night. And home ice doesn't mean much because the Kraken went on the road last night against the Avs as well in Denver. My Kraken! Unleash the Kraken! They win 3-2 in Denver, so the defending Stanley Cup champions could be out. First round to a second-year expansion team, first ever series in playoff history of the Kraken, and the Avs are on the ropes. Three game fives on the schedule tonight in the NHL. The Lightning are at the Maple Leafs. Toronto's up 3-1, 6 o'clock on TBS. 6:30 on ESPN2, Devils and Rangers tied 2-2. Game five in New Jersey. Every game has been won by the road team in that series. Golden Knights can close out the Winnipeg Jets. They lost game one, but they won the last three. They're up 3-1. 9 o'clock start for that one. Game five on ESPN2 in Las Vegas. Of course, the NFL draft is taking place tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday in Kansas City. You may have seen some of the footage and the way things look down in Kansas City. The more I see this stuff, the more I suddenly want to be there. I'm like, what's the big deal? But there's all kinds of entertainment, things that are going on. It's going to be tons of people there. Like you said yesterday, if you had something else going on down in that area, good luck with all of that. And my wife's going to be gone tonight. And so she goes, oh, too bad. She has to go to a conference. She's like, oh, I'm going to miss the draft tonight or Thursday night. Because my youngest, who's 9, who's a Seahawks fan, is all excited about who the Seahawks are going to pick. And he's going to be ticked when they don't take a quarterback. Trust me on that. And my oldest was, we were talking, it's so funny. We were at the dinner table last night and my wife didn't say a word. My poor wife. You know, God knew I couldn't handle daughters. Apparently, they thought my wife could handle all boys. And God's been right so far. So I have a 17, a 13, and a 9-year-old son. And we're all sitting at the table. And my oldest son says, well, who do you think the Chiefs are going to draft tomorrow night in the first round? I said, you know, I don't have a particular player that I think they're going to draft. I do have some ideas on what position they're going to do. And I said, I do have a feeling they're going to trade up in the first round. And so we started talking. And then, of course, my youngest starts talking about the Seahawks. And then we talk for like 15 minutes straight about the draft. And then we get done when there's a break and we pause. I said, honey, I looked across the table at my wife. I said, what do you think about the draft? She goes, I really don't care. I'm like, could you play with this? I'm trying to set you up to have fun. Like, just repeat a name. Even if it's a name nobody's heard of, maybe we think it is a draft pick possibility. I mean, she could have played along. She didn't. She was just like, you know what? I had to listen to you guys for 15 minutes. I checked out this conversation 14 and a half minutes ago, and whatever. She could care less. And then my oldest says, yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch really any of the draft tomorrow night. And are you? And I'm like, yeah, I am. I said, you know, the biggest reason why I'm going to watch some of it tonight is in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I want to see what the whole thing looks like. I think it'll be pretty cool. And I am interested in what's going to happen at the top five picks. I think there's going to be a lot of drama. I think there's going to be a trade or something that's going to blow this thing up, which, of course, will blow up any mock draft anybody had. And please stop with all the mock drafts. Thank God it's going to be over after tonight. Some people put together seven-round mock drafts now. You talk about pointless and a waste of time, and you have no life. No offense if you do that, but come on. Seven-round mock drafts.
This time of year, if you're doing a seven-round mock draft.
You must
draft.
Be bored to death, just, and man, if somebody pays you to do
must
that.
Must be a Royals fan. You just know.
Yeah. If somebody pays you to do that, then you know, God bless you that you got somebody crazy enough to pay you to do something that silly and monotonous. But and so now the Chiefs, of course, will have their first-round pick tonight, or so we think. The 31st pick. So the NFL draft is tonight, and here is the draft order for tonight. And by the way, real quick to the NBA, I want to go back for just a moment because I forgot something. Rachel Nichols used to be on ESPN. She made an interesting point on Twitter. She said, last night is another milestone in the short but colorful history of the play-in tournament. Miami is the first play-in team to win an NBA series. It will be interesting to see if that influences future teams deciding whether to tank or go for it towards the end of the season. This is what I was trying to say about Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks just basically quit and gave up at the final, at the spot, and they didn't want to give up a draft pick. But if they got in as a 10, they win two games, they would have been a 7. Or if they would have won, and then they could have been an 8. But the bottom line is, look at the West right now. Yeah, you might not want to play the Nuggets. But the Grizzlies are down 3-2, and I know they're playing the Lakers, but John Morant got hurt and missed the game. So injuries can change everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the wrong way to go about tanking. When you look, I mean, if the Heat had that same philosophy, they would have never had the opportunity to beat the Bucks in 5. And Giannis got hurt and kind of changed the momentum of that series a little bit. So I think it's an interesting point she brings up is like, will that in the future cause some teams that are, you know, trying to be in the play-in tournament, or, you know, would the Mavericks do the same thing a year from now? I think they probably would, but it's something to ponder and to consider. I think that's an interesting point. Okay, but let's go back to the NFL draft.
Real quick, I don't think anybody's going to change their mind about that unless somebody makes it like to the NBA Finals, like if they make a deep run.
Okay, the Heat certainly could do that.
Yeah.
The Heat certainly could do that.
It's set up now for them to have a chance to do that for sure, right?
Right.
Because they've got the Knicks next, and you know, that's a game you could, or a series easily that he could win. So.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. So the NFL draft is tonight. Here is the top five picks. Carolina has the first pick as they traded with the Bears to move up to 1. The Texans are at 2. The Cardinals are at 3. The Colts are at 4. And the Seahawks, because the Denver Broncos and the Russell Wilson trade, the Seahawks had the Broncos' 5th pick. The Lions have the 6th pick from the Rams. The Vegas Raiders are 7. Falcons are 8. Bears are 9. Eagles, NFC champion, is 10. And then the Chiefs are the last pick of the first round because the Miami Dolphins don't have a first-round pick because of their flirting with Tom Brady and some tampering violations. So they lost their first-round pick. So that's why there's only 31 picks in the first round. Chiefs pick number 31. Let's start at the top here. Many people expect Bryce Young to be the number one pick tonight. I think he will be too. But where the intrigue lies is in pick 2. Like, there's instant intrigue because there's some people that say that Bryce Young's not a slam dunk to be number one. I think he is. Number two, the Texans. Do they need a quarterback? Yeah, they could use a quarterback. Davis Mills has been okay. He's a younger quarterback. They have tons of needs. And the Texans, they're sitting at number 2 and 12. I don't think the Texans are taking quarterback at 2. I think that they'll be at 12, and they figure that they could still get a quarterback at 12. Anthony Richardson may be there. Will Levis, Kentucky, may be there. C.J. Stroud may slide and be there. I think there's a possibility. And Texans always could be at 12 and then move up and trade with, say, the Bears and jump up to 9. I don't think the Texans are taking a quarterback at 2. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people agree with me on that. A lot of people have them taking a pass rusher. And then number 3 is the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, of course, they're a team that's looking to trade out because they have a quarterback in Kyler Murray. Now, granted, he's coming off a torn ACL. So the Cardinals, they very well could be a team that trades out of the 3rd pick. That's what a lot of people are talking about. And then the Colts have the 4th pick. Many people think the Colts will take a quarterback. They do need a quarterback. And so there's where the intrigue is. Because let's assume Young goes 1 tonight to the Panthers. The Texans don't take a quarterback with 2. The Colts probably are taking a quarterback, and I don't know if they'll take Will Levis or C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson. I've seen all kinds of mock drafts that say that, you know, everybody's just shooting darts on that one. But what if a team decides to trade with the Cardinals that needs a quarterback, and they decide, well, the Raiders could be one of those teams. They could trade up. They got draft capital. A Falcons could, even though they drafted Desmond Ridder last year, but he wasn't a first-round pick. You know, who else? The Tennessee Titans have been rumored to maybe want to move up. Maybe the Titans move all the way up from 11 to 3. So the intrigue starts very quickly. As soon as the Panthers pick Bryce Young. Now, if they surprise everybody and pick C.J. Stroud or Will Levis, now we've got pandemonium immediately. But assuming that Bryce Young goes to the Panthers at 1, the reason to watch the draft tonight is what's going to happen at 2 and 3. Because, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans trade out at 2. I really wouldn't. So at 2 and 3, you've got two teams that could very well trade out. The Colts, I think, are at 4 sitting there going, we're going to get a quarterback. Now, which one? I don't know. Anthony Richardson's a guy that a lot of people think has a tremendous ceiling. Will Levis might be the safer pick. C.J. Stroud, if he's there, did the Colts take him after he had a horrible cognition test where he scored an 18? There are executives saying, dude, that just immediately signifies red flag, red flag. C.J. Stroud responded and said, I have to be a smart quarterback. I played at Ohio State playing college ball at that level. And I agree that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're stupid if you fail a test. Maybe he didn't apply himself, which that's still a red flag from that standpoint. But, you know, can he play football? Can he process things? Now, this test that he took, Bryce Young got a 96. Anthony Richardson got a 79. The average is an 80. Will Levis was 90-something, I believe. And Stroud was 18, which is horrific. But it's the test, I looked it up. It has a lot to do with processing. Well, I'm sorry. I think that is a gigantic red flag because if you can't process, now what's weird is he had to process something as quarterback in the Big Ten with Ohio State and nearly knocked off Georgia. So he processes good enough in college. The pros is a different level, of course. But if he has a problem processing, he's going to have a hard time in the National Football League. And I am really interested to see where C.J. Stroud lands. I think he's going to slide further than people think. And then there's my kids' team, the Seahawks at 5. Geno Smith, they paid a lot of money for in the offseason. He had a great year last year. They have other needs. And they could really build a great defense. They drafted well last year. They got a guy that's a stud at corner, the Wooten kid. Their defense is younger. Remember how they really became good? They had a good quarterback, Russell Wilson, but they also had the Legion of Doom. And Jalen Carter is probably going to be there at 5, and he is an absolute stud. Now, he has some off-the-field issues with the car accident and so forth and so on. Won't get in all the details there. So he could slide. Seattle could take a quarterback. Maybe they trade out of that. It's possible. Jalen Carter, many people think, well, not many. Some think he's going to the Seahawks. Some think Carter's going to slide all the way down to 10. And then after that, who knows what's going to happen? Bijan Robinson, running back for Texas. A lot of people have him at number 8 to the Falcons. If Falcons don't take him, I don't know where Robinson lands here. I think he could slide to 20. Tight end, wide receiver, like Zay Flowers. Some people got him as high as 11. Some people have him as low as 31 to the Chiefs. He worked out with Mahomes, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, the Chiefs won, save Flowers. So to Quentin Johnston for TCU. Dalton Kincaid, there's arguments here whether Michael Mayer of Notre Dame or Dalton Kincaid of Utah is the best tight end on the board. A lot of people have the Packers taking a tight end. Some have Mayer. Some have Kincaid. And will a quarterback slide way down? You know, will Anthony Richardson slide way down? There's Hendon Hooker coming off a torn ACL. He could be a real good pick at the end of the first round. Maybe somebody trades down because they don't like these other quarterbacks or have some question marks, but they do like Hooker, Hendon Hooker. So to see where everybody's at and what they're going to do. Some mock drafts have the Bills taking Quentin Johnston. A lot of mock drafts have the Chiefs taking an offensive tackle or an edge rusher or receiver. Those are the three positions everybody's got down.
Mm.
So let's talk about the Chiefs here. I'll give you three options. You tell me what you believe is going to happen. Trade up, trade down tonight. So trade up in the first round, trade down, which means out of the first round, or stay where they're put at 31. What do you think happens tonight in regards to positioning?
I think they might have somebody on their mind that we don't even know about, and they're going to trade up.
I believe they're going to trade up too. And I don't know how far. I was looking here a little bit. If there is a tight end or receiver that they like, I can see them trading up as far as up to trying to get ahead of the Ravens or the Vikings, and that would mean they have to move up to 21 or 22. I could see that possibly happening. Or the Cowboys, a lot of people think that they might take a tight end. I think the Chiefs might move up ahead of the Cowboys at 25. So my son asked me, he goes, well, who do you think the Chiefs are going to draft? I said, well, I don't know of any particular player. I know a couple guys I like. So then let's go step by step here. I think the Chiefs in the first round tonight, they could draft. First of all, there's only two positions that they will not draft tonight. They will not draft a quarterback at pick 31, and they will not draft a running back at 31. And I don't think they're trading up to get a running back or a quarterback. So in the first round, the Chiefs, those two positions off the board. But after that, I could argue anything else is in play. If there's a really good corner that slid, they can add another bona fide corner. You can't have enough corners in this league. It's a pass happy league. And the division they play in, look at that. Safety. They're not going to take a safety. I'd be stunned if they took a safety. They're set. They're fairly decent. They don't really need a line. They got Bolton. They got Gay. They got Tranquil. I don't think they need a regular linebacker. But they will. They could very well draft an edge rusher who is an OLB, an outside linebacker. So a pass rusher, defensive tackle. They could go there. Some people think they might. Obviously, offensive tackle. A lot of people looking at Juwan Taylor. They signed him, free agents from Jacksonville to be a left tackle is what we assume. So right tackle, there is an opening. They have some candidates they've drafted last few years that could be at right tackle, but if they don't feel great about that, the tackle slides in their lap or they really like, the Chiefs may take a really good tackle and can man the right side, and Taylor's on the left. That's a possibility. We said running back, quarterback, no. Wide receiver is one that a lot of people think the Chiefs are going to take a wide receiver in the first round. That could very well happen. I don't think they will myself. I think there's just too much. No. I think there's too much. Everybody's saying that. But I'll tell you the position. I've been saying this for a little while. I think tight end is a spot people need to pay attention to. And so I think in the first round tonight, they're going to draft either an offensive tackle, an edge rusher, or a tight end. That's my top three positions I think they're going to draft. Now, the next one will be wide receiver. That would be my fourth one. And I could be dead wrong. We all could be dead wrong. We're guessing. We don't know. Who they love, who they fall in love with, and you're a fool and a stooge to tell everybody who you love before the draft. I think it's a smokescreen, the whole thing with Zay Flowers and maybe even Quentin Johnston in regards to him working, those two working out with Mahomes. I think immediately people go, well, that would be a guy that these guys would love to work with Mahomes. Who doesn't want to work with Mahomes? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Brett Veach is going to strengthen the defense. And so I think what's most likely is he's going to pick up a defensive. He's going to pick up an edge rusher or a defensive tackle. I think he's going to try to improve his defense tonight in the first round. I think if the board falls the way they think it will fall, I think they'll end up going defense first round. What position do you want the Chiefs to draft tonight at 31? Let's say they sit there and stay at 31 or trade up. What position do you want the Chiefs to take tonight?
I want an edge.
You want an edge rusher?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm leaning there with you. So Frank Clark's not part of this team
That's
anymore.
That's why I want an edge.
Karlaftis is a second-year player. Chris Jones is great inside, but they need somebody off the edge. So I'm with you on that. I'm going to give you two players, because my son asked me this question. I did some research. I'm going to give you two players that I think are very intriguing, that one of them could be there at 31. The other one probably isn't, but I think could slide to where the Chiefs could move up to 25 or 24, 23 and get him. And this is just me speculating. I have nothing to base this off of. Lewis Riddick has connections with the Kansas City Chiefs. Lewis Riddick's worked for Andy Reid before. Lewis Riddick loves everything the Chiefs do, and he's been really spot on with taking about. He talked about, you know, Chiefs' various draft picks. He thinks he's going to be great players. He mentioned Pacheco after he got drafted, like that was a steal. Lewis Riddick has been really point on some things over the years with the Chiefs in the draft. He the other day said Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle for Tennessee. He couldn't say enough good things about him. He says he is a 10-year starter in this league, and he thinks he'll be a Pro Bowler and maybe even a Hall of Famer. That's how much he thinks of Darnell Wright. There are a few drafts that have Darnell Wright going all the way to the bottom of round one. And he's played.
That's a name I saw in some of the mocks I was looking at.
Played in the SEC, played with Tennessee. They had a great year last year. If Hooker doesn't get hurt, who knows? He's played right guard in his career, and he played right. He played left tackle some. Last year, he played all 13 games at right tackle, first team SEC. He could play right tackle, left tackle, right guard. There's flexibility there. That's important. He's like 6'5", 330. That would be a guy that I'd be more than happy with if the Chiefs at 31. If Darnell Wright slides to them at 31, or if they even trade up a few picks and they get him, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. And then you're protecting your $500 million man. I'm cool with it. There are questions at right tackle. But I'll tell you the one that if I end up being right about this one, then I'm going to probably retire as a sports talk show host and go ahead and flaunt and stick my chest out so far it's going to hurt my back. But there is a guy I've kind of fallen in love with in this draft. And there is a red flag, a somewhat red flag, yellow flag, what do you want to call it? He did have a back injury in college. But the Kansas City Chiefs at some point are going to have to find a replacement for Travis Kelce. There's nobody on this roster that you say. I mean, the Chiefs have plenty of tight ends. They got Blake Bell, but Blake Bell's a blocking, but he's not the future. Jody Fortson, he hasn't been a tall target, but he's not proven to be a guy that separates from coverage. He's not a great route runner, and he's been hurt. Noah Gray is a guy that I think is a good second option as a tight end with multiple tight end sets. He can catch the ball, but he's not as athletic as the guy I'm going to talk about. A lot of people want to talk about Michael Mayer of Notre Dame. He is a better blocker than the guy I like, but he's not as good a route runner. He's not quite as fast. And I just look at the prototypical tight end that the Chiefs would like to look at. And the guy closest to Travis Kelce, and maybe this is where I've got blinders on, but I keep thinking, what guy looks at the tight ends in this draft? What's a guy that looks like Travis Kelce? Because that's what I'm thinking when I'm, who's going to replace Kelce? I'm not saying going to replace him this year. Hopefully, Kelce can play another 2 or 3 years at a high level. But at some point, you've got to find Patrick Mahomes' next tight end. And the guy I'm in love with right now is Dalton Kincaid. He's a tight end from Utah. A lot of mock drafts have him at 15 to the Packers. But there are some others that think he could slide because of the back injury history, that he could slide to as far as 23 or 24. Now, maybe a slide further and right into the Chiefs' lap at 31. I don't know. So here's my super bold prediction. And if all these other guys can take their shots, why can't I? Right?
Yeah.
Because if you're wrong, nobody cares. Oh, you're wrong. Well, so was everybody. I think the Kansas City Chiefs trade up tonight and grab Dalton Kincaid. And they have their tight end of the future. And then they have two bona fide pass-catching tight ends. Noah Gray, I don't know what that means for him in the future. And I could be dead wrong. They may love Noah Gray, and they don't like that Kincaid had a back injury, and they may stay away from Kincaid. That very well could be possible. I probably have a 1% chance of getting this right. But I'm just taking my shot. I think the Chiefs tonight are going to trade up and get a guy they, as you said, fallen in love with, And I think Dalton Kincaid, everybody's so, I think the Chiefs have sent out all the smoke signals that these receivers have worked out Mahomes. Everybody's focused on, they lost Juju. Sky Moore's a second year player. MVS didn't do a ton last year. They've got to have a wide receiver. I think that's what the Chiefs have sent out there. And I think they've done it on purpose. And I do think that the Chiefs will draft the receiver that they're going to like, that they've fallen in love with, but I think it'll be in round two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Chiefs are going to trade way up to get a receiver because there are some really good receivers in this draft. So there's my shot. They trade up. Now, it could very well be they trade up to get Darnell Wright or they trade up to get our edge rusher. But I'm going to call my shot and say that they trade up and get Dalton Kincaid. Now, some people may say I'm stupid. That's fine. I've been told that before. You may say, well, there's plenty of tight ends on the roster. Well, they drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round last year. They didn't have to draft a running back. I mean, they had, what, Derek Gore? They had Jerick McKinnon. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then what about Helaire? Is he going to get traded tonight, possibly, in a package? There are rumors out there the Chiefs may end up not drafting anybody tonight, that they may trade and get D-Hop, get Hopkins, which you shouldn't give a first-round pick for D-Hop with his contract and everything else.
No.
But there's like Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be kind of a throw-in in a trade in some sort. Like the Chiefs want to move up in maybe round two or three. Everybody's focused on one. Maybe two or three. They trade up, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a trade piece to move up in another round. And I'm okay with that. So that's my shot. That's what I'm calling. I know it's really bold. It's out there. And maybe the only thing dumber would be saying they're going to draft a quarterback like Chris Collinsworth did to fill out a mock draft. And even just doing that, the hooker was in the first round. But I will say this. If they don't draft Kincaid, they don't move up to draft a tight end, or they don't draft a tight end at 31, I still think they're drafting a tight end somewhere in this draft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll let you have it before you run to the next studio.
Yeah. I think the move up to draft somebody is going to be for an edge that they really love. Like, I don't know who that is right now.
Right.
The white kid from Georgia Tech, some people have him going at 31, and I've seen some drafts where he's like higher than that. So I don't know if that might be somebody they like and they think somebody's going to take him and they move up. That's just an example. I don't know if that's who it's
Will
be.
Will McDonald's been mentioned, Iowa State, edge rusher. King Fingless of K-State has been mentioned, but he'll probably end up
in the second round. If we're at 31 and haven't picked yet,
I'd trade down.
I want Felix.
Well, or maybe trade down.
Really kind of where he's projected.
Or
yeah.
You could trade
early second.
Right, that's
round.
What I mean. Yeah. Just trade
down.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they'll do that. And I think Felix is projected to be right around that area.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of early second round.
Yeah. And so, you're late first, early second. Mm-hmm. It could be whatever. If you feel like that's your guy, mm-hmm. then that's my guy because I'm wearing purple glasses.
Of course.
Purple tinted glasses, but he's from Kansas City, which a lot of times that's why they don't pick guys like that because right. K-State guy from Kansas City, it's too mm-hmm. good of a storybook ending there for Felix, and I don't think it's going to happen. But if he's there and they're at 31, that's what I want. But mm-hmm. I don't know if that's logical or if it's going to happen or not. But I think there's probably some edge that they've really. Mm-hmm. looked at that they think maybe this team's going to pick him. We better move up and get him.
There's a Miles Murphy from Clemson. He's been in some mock drafts going to the Chiefs as well. But yeah, it seems like most people have the Chiefs taking either offensive tackle, an edge rusher, which is an outside linebacker, or they take a wide receiver. They're those three positions.
I just don't see the wide receiver even if they stay at 31.
Yeah. But if there's a receiver that slides down.
The
kid from Ohio State, Nigba or whatever.
Yeah.
I love
Smith
that kid.
Jigba,
if he slides to say 24 and you want to go get him, they got the draft capital to do it. So I'd be okay with that too. I think a lot of Chiefs fans want a wide receiver. If you took a vote, who do you want to draft tonight in the first round? Chiefs fans want a wide receiver. And the fact that Kansas City's hosting the draft, I think the Chiefs won't trade out of round one. They'll stay at 31, so they at least have a pick tonight. But I think it's very possible the Chiefs are going to trade up, and that's going to create a euphoria because the Chiefs are hosting this in Kansas City. And I think they're going to get some kind of player that is – you're going to probably talk about it tonight. NFL pundits will talk about it. Wow, the Chiefs moved up and got a – did the Chiefs just fleece the league again? They moved up and got this guy? Are you kidding me? Another weapon for Mahomes? Or they got this edge rusher to help their defense and Chris Jones? It really is going to be fun to see what these teams do at the top of the draft, how it impacts the bottom of the half of the draft, and what the Chiefs end up doing. K-State players, We mentioned King Felix because I can't pronounce his name. I said King Felix. King Felix, they're talking late first, early second round projection for Felix of K-State. Julius Brents is projected by many to be a second round pick. And you know what? If the Chiefs had second round pick, Julius Brents is there. You got a tall, aggressive, physical corner. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed if the Chiefs drafted a corner like that. But we talk about Snead going to need a contract in a year or so, and they probably won't. They won't be able to afford everybody. Nick Bolton's going to be up for a contract, too. And then Deuce Vaughn is an interesting one. Where a lot of people are thinking third, fourth-round pick. And my oldest and I got into a little bit of a disagreement about this last night, about Deuce Vaughn. I think Deuce Vaughn is going to be an outstanding pro. Now, when I mean outstanding pro, it doesn't mean that I think he's going to be an all-pro. It doesn't mean I think he's going to be, you know, a 1,500-yard rusher. I don't think Deuce Vaughn will be able to carry the ball 25 to 30 times in the National Football League. My oldest son says he ain't going to be able to hold up and this and that and so forth and so on. And I said, listen, as long as he doesn't go to a team with a really bad offensive line, I think he's going to be a nice gadget player, the perfect player that's going to ascend into a bigger role. I keep thinking about Darren Sproles.
Absolutely.
Every time I think of Deuce Vaughn, I think Darren Sproles. And Darren Sproles is a kid that what round was he drafted? Was it third?
Third or fourth?
Was it fourth? Might have been fourth.
I think it was fourth. I can't remember.
I'll pull it up real quick.
Top of my head.
Darren Sproles. Where we got it here? Where's the draft part?
If you click on the arrow there where it says
there it
more.
Is. More?
Yeah. There you go. It should be if you click on there somewhere.
Fourth round.
Yeah.
Fourth round of the Chargers in 2005 out of Olathe North, of course, K-State.
I thought it was fourth.
But Darren Sproles was kind of considered like, well, you might be a little bit of a third down back, catch out of backfield, and he's going to be a kick returner. That's what he's going to do, special teams player. Too small to take the punishment. And then he stayed in the league for quite some time. Quite some time. In fact, how many years did he play in the league? Career.
I was trying to remember like his last, because he got injured there toward the end of it and then decided it's time to
play. 19. His last year's 19, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say something like probably 14,
so he was in the league for about 15 years.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Deuce Vaughn will be in the league that long. Joe Klatt, who's covered the Big 12 on some games and one of Fox's top TV analysts, he loves Deuce Vaughn. And he said yesterday on Twitter, he said, listen, there's a sleeper for me. Deuce Vaughn is a guy that's probably going to go third or fourth round. And he said, I think 10 years from now, in 2033, you're going to go, wow, Deuce Vaughn was a really good player that played in the league for 10 years. And I'm thinking Darren Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and this is the discussion I had with my oldest son, and this is what I told him. I said, listen, is Deuce Vaughn going to light the world on fire? He may. But Deuce Vaughn would be, to me, another guy to compare him to would be Tony Pollard of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Now, Pollard's a little bigger, but Pollard's a guy that isn't going to carry it 30 times a game. But you give Tony Pollard 15 to 20 carries a game, you throw the ball to him in the backfield, you get him an open field, and then I think of Barry Sanders with Deuce Vaughn with some of the moves he can make, or Darren Sproles. So I think Deuce Vaughn has a role in this league, and I think he's going to – it just depends on the fit, of course, but I think he's going to be a very solid player in the league. And I agree with Joe Klatt. I think he's going to be in the league for a while. And I think he's a guy that's going to be like Sproles. He's going to start out with a smaller role, and then it's going to balloon into something bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some point, we're going to be talking about Deuce Vaughn and how important he is to a team's offense. I do believe that. Now, maybe I'm wearing the purple color glasses right now when I say that. And I've been to K-State games, and I've watched him a ton. So maybe I'm a little biased when I say that. But when people get, oh, they're too small, or too small, too small. Well, Emmitt Smith was small. Barry Sanders was small. Darren Sproles was small. There's lots of small guys that have done okay in this league. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not exactly huge either. No. And I told my son this. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire can average over 4.5 yards a carry, which I think is what he did this year in limited carries, and he's average over 4 in his career, I think Deuce Vaughn's a better running back than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he can catch it better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've seen Deuce Vaughn absolutely protect his quarterback in blitz pickup. Now, I know that might be different than NFL level. Mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a great blitz pickup guy. Jerick McKinnon is. And there's no doubt that Vaughn is quicker, can hit the hole, make more moves, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I said, if Clyde Edwards, so my son's like, well, I just don't think Deuce Vaughn, what he does, is going to translate to the NFL. I said, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can run for 800 yards, and I know he's on a good team, and he can average over 4 yards a carry, Deuce Vaughn could do the same thing. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned three K-State guys, and there's a lot of years where I go in wanting, you know, a K-State guy to be picked by the Chiefs just so I can continue to have one of those guys on my favorite team, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of years where it just logistically doesn't make sense. Like, this, it'd be great to have him close to K-State and be a part of this, but it just, they don't need that position, or it's too high to pick somebody like that, or whatever the case may be. But I think if you slotted all these guys in their spots, the Chiefs would have a legit chance to take them, and they would have a legit spot for them on their team, right? Like, yep. An edge for Felix. And, yep. And I love Julius Brents. Somebody who picks him at the end of the second round, I feel like, is going to get a steal.
I agree.
If they do that, I just feel that strong about Julius Brents. Mm-hmm. He is the prototypical build for a corner in the NFL, and he backed it up at K-State, and if he can continue to do that, I like that. And like you said, the Chiefs are possibly looking for a corner if they're not going to pay everybody, mm-hmm. right? And so if Snead wants his money, they're not going to give it to him. And then Deuce is a guy that can fit in. I mean, if you want an offense that Deuce Vaughn can fit into,
the Chiefs would be a good
Chiefs
one.
Are a perfect one for him.
They don't run the ball a ton.
They want your running back to block in the backfield, and he's mm-hmm. shown that. You want him to be able to catch out of the backfield. He's obviously shown that. And the moves that he makes just running the football, he's shown that. Now, they've got Pacheco. So I don't think the Chiefs are a team that Deuce Vaughn's actually going to go to. You know, if it's later and he drops like late fourth round or something, and the Chiefs have that pick and decide to take him, that might happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're actively going to be looking to pick Deuce Vaughn in this draft, just based on having Pacheco and what they've got. But the track record is there for. We cannot continue to use the size thing.
I agree.
In the NFL, because it's just not true anymore.
I agree.
I mean, you got a Sproles. It's not even just running backs. I mean, Wes Welker, you know, guys like this that as receivers that have had success. And Sky Moore ain't exactly big, right? No. Like, you got that, those kind of guys. And Pacheco's a great example. He's a lot stronger and more physically imposing than Deuce Vaughn, but he's not much taller, right?
Yeah.
And Jerick McKinnon's a good example of a shorter, you know, guy that has done some things. And obviously, Darren Sproles is at the top of your list, like you said. And I think it's just a crutch and a major excuse that should not still be used in 2023 about guys coming into the draft.
Well, it's funny we were talking about that, because then we were talking about quarterbacks then. And it's like my son doesn't think Bryce Young's a good pick because he's too short. And I said, well, Russell Wilson's short, and he went to two Super Bowls, should have won two. And he goes, oh, that's a good point. I said, Kyler Murray's had a pretty good career. Granted, they haven't gone as far as they want. He's very short. Drew Brees was barely 6 feet. He had a Hall of Fame career, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I said, and so there's another misnomer. It used to be you had to be so tall with mm-hmm. such big hands. Now, Kenny Pickett's not super tall. I don't think he's super tall. He's got small hands. That was one of the reasons why he slid down further than some people thought. And, I mean, yeah, it helps to have height, but it used to be the quarterback had to be 6'2 or taller. He had to stand in the pocket. Mobility wasn't that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's, you want a quarterback that can move, improvise, can escape, keep a play alive, and can also stand in the pocket. Well, gee, that sounds like obviously Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, two of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. Josh Allen as well. And so it used to be you got to be a pocket passer, and these guys aren't going to make it because, one, they're too short as a quarterback, they run too much, and in some cases he's black. Seriously, that was one thing too. Remember that whole controversy mm-hmm. at one time with Rush Limbaugh? Like, well, you know, black quarterbacks are not smart enough. Well, there's plenty of quarterbacks that are smart enough. We know this. Well, no matter what their color of skin they are. And, well, Lamar's not going to be – he's going to be a wide receiver. He ain't going to make it in this league as a quarterback. Well, he's done fairly well for himself. Mahomes, he's too many turnovers. He got to learn how to stay in the pocket all the time. That good thing we didn't do that. And running backs, they got to be a certain size. Well, but they all need to be kind of short. You don't want a 6'4 guy playing running back. So they usually got to be short and compact. Now, Vaughn doesn't weigh – he's not like Hilaire. Hilaire is a little more stout, obviously.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't – what's he weigh here? He's 5'8", 209. Vaughn's what, 5'6", 175?
Yeah.
So that's the concern, obviously, in regards to the weight. I get that. But it is a misnomer. The conventional wisdom, as we started the show with, well, Mahomes, the conventional wisdom says you can't make those throws in the NFL. It doesn't translate. Well, it did. And, well, you can't run the option. That'll never work in the NFL. No, we've seen teams, when we get quarterbacks that can run or pass, suddenly Jalen Hurts running the option is pretty dang effective. Lamar Jackson, it's pretty dang effective. Like, when you got mobile quarterbacks that can run or pass, the option suddenly is, well, there's just too much speed. There's too much athleticism. It's just, you can't run option. And I'm not taking option offense. I'm talking run option play. And you can. It's been proven you can. The Chiefs have even done it with Mahomes, for crying out loud. So the old school thinking of the NFL and football, some of it, you got to throw it out the window. So when you sit here and say, well, Bryce Young is too short. Well, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. So he wouldn't have been years ago, but now he will be. Because of Russell Wilson and other players. Mm-hmm. And, well, Deuce Vaughn, he's too small. It ain't going to work. He can't take the wear and tear. I think he's going to be in the league for 10 years, as long as he does stay healthy. Darren Sproles, he said the same thing about him. Nobody ever dreamt Darren Sproles would play in the league for 15 years. They probably would have said he's lucky to be on a team for five. They said many things about other small running backs. They said Steve Largent and Jerry Rice were too slow. Two of the greatest receivers that ever played the game. Jerry Rice ran like a 4.6 40, 4.5 at the best. He wasn't that fast, but here's an idea. He can actually catch the ball and runs great routes.
Precise. Burn people.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how fast you were if you're 10 yards down the field.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I love when they're like, well, this guy's got blazing speed. That's great. Can he catch the football from Patrick Mahomes 70 yards down the field?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sorry, but if the Chiefs draft wide receiver, and he's got, well, he ran a 4.24. Like, by the way, if Tyreek Hill would be the great example. Tyreek Hill, well, he runs. He's amazing. He's so fast and great. Can he catch the ball? Well, we found out he can. Mm-hmm. Now, he dropped some, but we found out he could catch the ball. But there are guys that, well, the quarterback, he can throw it 75 yards. That's great. Can he throw a slant? Because you're just not going to chuck it. Jamarcus Russell's an example of that. Mm-hmm. Well, he can throw it 80 yards. Yeah, and he didn't even study film. He didn't process anything, and he was a complete and utter disaster as a number one pick. It isn't always about how fast you run, how far you can throw it. Yeah, that factors in. We get way caught up in the combine. People get way caught up in the measurables. Deuce Vaughn, use your eye test. Kansas State played in a tough conference in the Big 12 this year, like they usually do. Deuce Vaughn made some potential NFL players stupid. Made them look completely stupid. Just like Barry Sanders did, just like Darren Sproles did. Deuce Vaughn's going to do that to somebody in the league, too. So I think Deuce Vaughn would be a great pickup for somebody in, it might be the fourth round. I'm thinking more of the fourth round, but maybe third. But if he was 5'11", 210, probably he's a second-round pick at worst. Mm-hmm. So that's what's making him go down, but yet the quarterback is short, and that's not as big a deal as it used to be. So it is very interesting how the game has changed. The conventional wisdom, as you said earlier, is no longer conventional, which is fine.
No, the game's always evolving. Like, people don't understand that part of it. Yeah. And
there's not many Peyton Manning-like guys anymore.
And part of that evolution is that your size doesn't matter a whole lot if you're athletic as all get out and can do what Deuce Vaughn did to that TCU safety who's been put on so many highlight reels at this point from that Big 12 championship game that it's just like, okay, well, does everything translate to the NFL? I don't know, but Deuce Vaughn can make a lot of NFL guys look pretty bad if he can keep those moves up. And they're elite moves and quickness with the football in his hands that you can see that on film. I don't need to go to a combine for measurables for Deuce Vaughn because I know who he is. Yeah. But if you watch what he's capable of doing and understand what he does with the ball in his hands and even without the ball in his hands, it's pretty impressive. And I think the right NFL GMs are going to understand that.
And by the way, my son's not a big fan of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then he's telling, and he has a right to his opinion. He might be right. He very well could be right. But he's just not that high on Deuce Vaughn going, and maybe it's because he's a K-State player, because he's a KU fan. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in his career, everybody think, and you know what? I know he's considered somewhat of a bust because he was a first-round pick. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire was taken a third or fourth round, you'd be sitting here going, this has been a good pick. But because he's a first-round pick, that's why Chiefs fans act like he's the worst thing that's ever been invented. Clyde Edwards-Helaire in his career, through three seasons in the National Football League, is averaging, or three or four, he's averaging 4.4 yards a carry. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's above the league average. I mean, and he's still only 23. So maybe the Chiefs shouldn't give up on him that quickly. And by the way, if you're wondering about Jerry McKinnon, he is unsigned. And if you're worried about, oh my God, we got to get McKinnon signed right away. This is, I love McKinnon. Last year, the Chiefs didn't sign him or re-sign him until June.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Brett Veach has even said, we're going to wait and get through the draft, and then we'll talk more with Jerick McKinnon. Because if they get a running back they really like in this draft, there might not be a spot for McKinnon. If they don't trade Hilaire and they go with Hilaire, Pacheco, and a rookie, then McKinnon's probably odd man out. But if they go with Pacheco, and they find, and the other part of this equation is if they trade Hilaire tonight, maybe, then McKinnon is a no-brainer to probably be, you know, re-signed as long as McKinnon's willing to take the right amount of money. And I think McKinnon will be back as a Chief myself. I think the Chiefs know how important he is, and he's great in pass protection. But there are some moving parts there. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they can't move him, they're not just going to cut a first-round pick, I highly doubt, at the age of 23. And then, of course, the other factor would be if they draft a running back and be the third guy on the roster to go with Pacheco and Hilaire, then McKinnon, there's really no need to have him. So you got to either not draft a running back, or you got to move Clyde Edwards-Helaire, more than likely, to have McKinnon. And I think, I do think the Chiefs are going to move Hilaire. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to get for him, but I think they will. And then I think they'll re-sign McKinnon, and I think they'll draft a running back. That's my prediction on that.
There you go.
Hunter Butkey.
Yes.
Former Beloit Trojan, and he was All-American at tight end at Fort Hays State his junior year, then had injuries this year. Saw Hunter the other day working out over at the Wellness Center. Talked with him the other day, and I asked him, you know, how's it going? There was some article about 20 small college sleepers for the NFL draft. Hunter Butkey was one of those that was mentioned. Now, he's coming off injuries, of course. But he has I asked him, I said, so what are you hearing? And he said the Cardinals and Saints had called and talked. He said he has talked to the Chiefs. I said, wouldn't it be cool you be the heir apparent to Travis Kelce? not bad for a running back to carry it at 42 games and three quarters in Marysville and broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
And maybe you be the maybe you can play running back when Hilaire gets traded. I don't know. He could do both. But when in the draft, you want to hear your name called. That's nice and all. But if you're not a first, second, third, or fourth round pick, really, once you get in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round, as an individual, as a player, especially you're talking seventh round, especially seventh, you don't want to be drafted. When you're in the seventh, when it gets to the seventh round, you could always argue and say, and down the line, I was drafted in the National Football League. There, you would always have that for you, right? But I was talking with Hunter about that a little bit. And he was agreeing with me. He's like, yeah, really, when you get late in the draft, you're better off being undrafted because now you can pick your fit.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of some team that takes you and you end up wasting time with an organization that isn't a good fit, you could be ahead of the curve if you went to rookie camps with a team that you are a good fit for. Like if a team has plenty of tight ends and he gets drafted by a team in the seventh round that has a lot of tight ends, it's probably not great for Hunter. But if a team that really has problems at tight end or a lack of depth drafts him, he may be okay with that. And I'm not saying Hunter's going to be mad and say, no, please don't draft me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of guys that when you get to the seventh round, and you've heard this before, guys that actually get undrafted say, I actually like that because now I'm not locked into an organization. I can go find my best fit, or I already have five or six teams that told me if I'm undrafted, they're going to be calling me for rookie camp. And Hunter's been contacted by a few NFL teams already about, hey, if you don't get drafted, from what I understand, if I understood what you're saying correctly, then, you know, you're on our radar to invite. Because as soon as the draft's over, you hear the Chiefs sign seven undrafted free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy from KU, there's a guy from K-State, Oklahoma, Nebraska, whatever. And that'll happen, you know, as soon as the draft's over on Saturday or whatever. And then Sunday, you'll hear all about this. There are really good players that are undrafted, end up being pretty good players in this league. So just because you don't get drafted doesn't mean you can't make it in the league, doesn't mean you can't make a roster, doesn't mean you can't get a paycheck. And just because you're drafted doesn't mean you got a spot on the roster. There's really the only guaranteed spot on the roster is if you're a first-round pick, pretty much. I mean, there's even been second-round picks that have been cut after a year, believe it or not. So we'll be watching Hunter, wishing him the best of luck. And whether he gets drafted late rounds, whether he gets picked up as undrafted free agent, I just hope it's the right fit for him. And it'll be really cool to see him in the National Football League someday. It's not easy. Caden Davis Ellsworth's an outstanding player who really impressed some people out in Denver training camp. And then he played in a preseason game. And then Caden never did where he wasn't able to latch on with a team for an extended period of time last year. And he's still looking to make it in this league. And sometimes you just need the right break. Drew, is it Drew Maggio? Is that his first name? The Pittsburgh Pirate 33-year-old?
Yeah.
He played 1,155 minor league games over 13 seasons. Finally got his call up to the big leagues last night. Unbelievable moment. You should watch his interview after the game. He struck out, but that wasn't the story. Mm. He was a pinch hitter, came in, Pirates won, they're winning, they're doing great. 33-year-old man who's probably gone through tons of ups and downs in his minor league career, probably many times saying, is it really worth me running around with these minor league teams at my age? He's probably thought about quitting before, I'm sure. He said he had a lot of heart-to-heart talks with his mom, lots of tears at times, so I'm sure they talked about giving up his dream, so forth and so on. And 13 years later, he's in the big leagues. Now, whether he's going to stay for a day, 5 days, a week, the rest of his career, I have no idea. But when he's all done, he can say, I made it. Mm-hmm. My persistence paid off. And his message to people was, don't quit chasing your dreams. Don't give up. If Hunter Bucky or Caden Davis, these kids from our North Central Kansas area, don't get drafted, that doesn't mean they can't make an NFL team. They still can. But it is hard. It is very hard. There's only a, well, I don't know what the percentage is of people that actually play professional football, NFL. It's probably, what, 0.4%? I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So it's a very select fraternity, and that's why when everybody sits here and goes, well, this guy's no good and he's in the game, all the scrubs are in for the Chiefs, so the scrubs are in for the Golden State Warriors. Let me tell you something. Those boys that are on the end of the bench in the NBA, those guys that are the 25th man on the baseball team at the big league level, that the third string running back, the practice squad quarterback, these guys are effing good. They're amazing athletes. It's just that there's even more amazing athletes that are better than them, or some just didn't get the right break or the right fit. I mean, listen, Kurt Warner needed Trent Green to tear his ACL in a preseason game. If Trent Green never gets hurt, do we even know about Kurt Warner?
No.
If Drew Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, does Tom Brady end up having a career that he ends up having? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, you see these things all the time. I still think there are backup quarterbacks in the National Football League that could have been like Kurt Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least somewhat like him. That could have had some really productive and really good years in the league, but they just don't catch the breaks. The starting quarterback never gets hurt. Or he's going to get a chance, and then there's a coaching change or a general manager change, or you get traded just when you maybe are making some strides with one organization. I think that happens all the time. And so you need to be good. You got to work, and you need some luck. And I wish Hunter and Budke and Caden Davis and anybody else from North Central Kansas chasing their dreams to do professional sports, you know, I wish them the best of luck, whether you're playing NFL football, if you play XFL, USFL, if you play, you don't play the NBA, but you play over in China, wherever you play, mm-hmm. That's professional ball, people. You're getting paid for a living. It's professional. I wish all those young people, men or women, best of luck in those future endeavors, and give it whatever you can while you have the chance while you're young, because believe me, I'm 47. Your body eventually starts to break down a little bit. So chase your dreams. And perfect example is a guy that went through 13 years in the minors and got called up and had his first major league at bat in the bigs last night. That, my friends, is a success story. As we talked about Giannis, that's not failure. You know, you have to, it's called growth. Somebody, you know, you were talking about earlier, we use the word failure too much. What we probably should say is it's part of the developmental or growth process instead of mm-hmm. saying failure. Right?
Absolutely. There's another kid that's got relation in Downs that's fighting to get in the NFL right now, Dalton Schoen, right?
No, like, Dalton Schoen, that's right.
He had 1,400 yards receiving, was the rookie of the year in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so that's a route that he took to maybe get back down here and play in the NFL. And he's had workouts with NFL teams since the season ended there in Canada. And so, you know, he's a perfect example of a guy like the Maggio guy for the Pirates, right, of not giving up on your dream. You don't want to just hang it up and give in. And he goes and has just an outstanding, stellar season as a rookie in Canada mm-hmm. and just blows the top off up there. Yeah. And now he's got his name back on the radar in an even bigger way than it was when he came out of K-State. Does that mean he's going to make it to the NFL? No. He's still got to go work out, and he's still got to get that opportunity. But if he gets that opportunity, like you said, you catch one break in this league, mm-hmm. and maybe he's the next guy that's going to come in as a receiver and do some really, really big things.
Yeah.
I mean, Byron Pringle got a shot.
Yeah.
And
took him some time.
Some key things for the Chiefs, you know, whether that was special teams or making big catches or what it was, you know. And I don't think Byron Pringle is all that much better than Dalton Schoen as a receiver, right, from what I saw at K-State at times. So, you know, if you get that one break that you need and you know, Byron got a fairly decent contract for what he is in Chicago, and now Dalton's trying to do that too. And I know that, you know, I know some of his family, and they're proud of the effort and the work that he's put in to get to the point where he is right now and have another opportunity maybe to make it to the NFL. But yeah, don't give up on it and keep working, and
yeah,
who knows where you can end up.
That'd be very cool. So best of luck to all of them. All right, so the draft tonight starts at 7 o'clock. Be glued to the TV and then watch a commissioner come up and read a card. That's all coming up tonight in Kansas City. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. And relay reports coming up throughout the day tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. So stay tuned for that here on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. And go Chiefs, or I don't want to say go Broncos. That'll be used against me in a court of law. But if you're a Bronco fan, you can say go Broncos and be excited about the Seahawks taking your fifth pick tonight.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.